We're going to be looking in Romans chapter 15 this morning. Romans chapter 15, as we conclude kind of a three-part series that we're looking at on this aspect of missions. We looked 4 weeks ago. Is that right? 4 weeks ago, we looked at the last section of Philippians chapter 4. We looked at ministry partnership, partnering together, as Paul communicated there about how the church at Philippi had partnered with him. Then we looked at 3 weeks ago at Missions 101. What is missions? All of us are to be missions, missionaries. All of us are to be engaged in this missions process. And then we looked 2 weeks ago at the matter of discipleship, looking from Timothy. And then last week, of course, had the missions conference. Appreciate all those who were involved in the missions conference, especially our missionaries. I know all of them expressed how thankful and grateful they were to our church for their hospitality, for their love. They appreciated the engagement of our church, so appreciate that. That's always important. When we were on deputation, we had a few of those awkward churches where you would stand at your table and no one would really talk to you. They would just kind of file right on by. In fact, one church we were at in Arizona, the pastor, we were there on a Sunday morning, the pastor preached a message. And he said, "Dave, why don't you go to the back and stand there, and people can talk to you." And Kimberly, as he was praying for the invitation, Kimberly went out to get Caleb, I think it was. And by the time she got him and got back in, the church was empty. Like 10 minutes, everybody was gone. I mean, I think the church had some other problems that nobody wanted to stay around in fellowship. But I know the missionaries appreciated the engagement, and that's important to know what missionaries are going through, to know what their fields are all about. And so all of them expressed their appreciation for that, and I certainly enjoyed having them all here, as many as were able to be here last week. But today we're going to finish up kind of this three-part series on a mission-hearted church. From Romans chapter 15, and we're going to be looking at verses 24 through 33, as Paul is communicating to the church at Rome, communicating to the church at Rome here about what he intends to do, about what he kind of would like them to do, about his appreciation for them in some ways. And so this morning, as we look at the mission-hearted church, why is missions important? We've had several discussions lately about missions. We've had just several thoughts and ideas communicated to us, but as we looked at a few weeks ago, missions is important because all of us are to be engaged in the process of telling people about Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, that's what missions is. It's me taking the message of Jesus Christ and his salvation in my life and communicating that to somebody I come in contact with. And so why do we value those people who come, as we had last week, Rita Anderton, as we had Nathan and Kristen Muse, as we had Andy Ferrier, as we had Rick Cross, as we had others of our missionaries that came during the conference, Jeremiah and Dick Larson, and we had others that were able to be a part of that. Why do we value those people? Well, we value them in part because they're doing something we can't do, because we're not omnipresent. We can only be in one place at one time. I can't go everywhere. I can't be in every country and every situation at one time. And so we value those people because they're doing a job that all of us were asked to do. They're doing it maybe in that country where that God has called them to. Maybe it's Australia, or maybe it's Cameroon with Rita. Maybe it's with the Jews with Andy. Maybe it's with the restricted countries like Rick is doing. But they're doing something that we cannot do. And so we value them and we help them and we encourage them because they're playing a part in a job that we were all given and we were all asked to play a part in. Sometimes people say, well, why is it important to have missionaries come through? Why is it important to have missionaries who we don't even support come through? Because we need to constantly be cognitive of the fact that there is a world out there who is dying and going to hell, and it's our obligation as believers to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And so when somebody comes and they're going to Cameroon or they're going to Australia, and we sit there and say, you know what, I can't go. God hasn't called me there for right now. He's called me to this area of the world. But I value what you're doing because you're a partner together with me, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to do what I can in order to enable you to accomplish what God has called all of us to do. And we see part of this in Romans chapter 15 this morning as we look at this section of Scripture, what Paul is going to communicate to the church at Rome, a very practical level look at this issue of a mission-hearted church. You say, what's the difference between a mission-hearted church and a mission-minded church? Some churches will say, well, we're mission-minded. Some people will say, well, we're mission-hearted. Is there a difference? I think there is. Here's one quote. I don't know who said this. I came across it in some research, and it didn't attribute it to anybody. It says this: it has been said that there are only two kinds of churches in America today. That's a very broad statement. Every church is either a mission-minded church or a mission-hearted church. A mission-minded church doesn't mind if missionaries come to visit them or preach for them. When they are there, they don't pay them a bit of mind. And when that missionary leaves, he never comes back to the mind of the congregation in prayer. A mission-minded church. We don't mind missionaries. You can come and you can preach. We don't really pay you any attention. We don't pay you any mind. Like that church we were in, everybody and their brother just filed right on out. No one talked to us. No one talked to each other. And we'd never come back to pray for them in the mind of our congregation. That's not the kind of church that we should be. I don't believe that's the kind of church that Paul communicates here in Romans chapter 15. And so he starts in verse 24. Paul says this: I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. Once I have enjoyed your company for a while, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints for Macedonia and Achaia, have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. That whole verse right there could be a message of itself. Verse 28, when therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So as we think about missions, as we consider missions, and this morning as we look at this section of Scripture, where Paul is giving a very personal, very heartfelt letter and message to the church at Rome, as we think about this, as we think about those who are raising support to go to other places, as we think about those who we already support, those who we already have a part in their ministry, the answer to these questions of what was our obligation and what are we supposed to do, it depends upon who you speak with. Some people say, why do we need to have missionaries come through and ask for money? That seems to be all they ever do. That's what they need. They need their support to be able to go and to be able to function in that society. I appreciated Rick talking last week about entrepreneurial missions. That's an area that we need to explore more. We need to look at more ways to be creative in getting people to the mission field, to be able to communicate God's word to them. But in the meantime, there are people who need to be financially supported, who need to be encouraged, who need to show the love of Christ to them. And it is our obligation as believers at Whitneyville Bible Church to play a part in that. It's not enough for us simply to say, be warmed and be filled, and we'll see you later. And Paul is addressing this matter. He's speaking to the church at Rome on this very matter. And so he's going to communicate to them a couple of different characteristics, I believe, of a mission-hearted church. So we'll look at these this morning. Number one, verse 24, a missions-hearted church helps missionaries. You say, well, that seems very practical. Well, Paul is very practical. Verse 24, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So what does Paul say? I hope to come by Rome. I hope to be able to pass by you as I'm on my way to Spain, and I hope that you will help me in my journey. So here's a missionary. Sometimes we wonder, well, what is it like to be a missionary? We were home on deputation dealing with some of the health issues of our kids, and Becca was being born, I believe. We were attending a Sunday school class at a church that supported us, and I remember as I was sitting there, it's probably 20 or 30 younger couples in this class, and this guy who I hadn't met turned around to me and he said, you're Dave Dietz. I said, I am. And he said, and you're a missionary. I said, I am. He said, I have never talked to somebody like you, a missionary. Some of you maybe have that same experience. I've never talked to a missionary before. I felt like saying, I'm just about as normal as you are. I put my pants on the same way. I have the same struggles. I have the same issues. I have the same problems. We are all the same. We have the same struggles. And here is Paul communicating, you know what? I hope to be helped by you. I hope to come your way and to be able to have this communication with you. I hope to see you in passing as I'm on my way to Spain and to be helped by you in my journey. The word helped there is the Greek word propempo. And in the New Testament, it means this. It means to send forward on one's journey, to bring someone on his way, especially to accompany for some distance in token of respect and honor. So Paul's telling them in 24, as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey, what was he communicating to them? I am hoping that you will send me forward on my journey, that you'll help me on my journey, that you'll encourage me on my journey. And it even went so far as to say, I hope that you will accompany me in some aspect of my journey. So when we think about this, very practically speaking this morning, letter A, mission-hearted churches help by sacrificing financially. What was Paul asking them to do? I hope that you will help me on my journey. What did Paul have in terms of needs as he was traveling to Spain? He had financial needs. He had to get from point A to point B. I know all of you know this, but it costs money to get from point A to point B. So why do we help missionaries along the way financially that come? Why do we take up a love offering, or why do we give them some monetary support as they come? Because they need help to get from point A to point B. Some of them coming home from the countries that they served in, maybe Cameroon or Australia or wherever they may be, they're coming home and now they're going to go visit this church and visit this church and visit this church. They need help getting from point A to point B. This is exactly what Paul was saying. I need help and I hope that you'll help me. Well, I thought Paul was a tent maker. Can't he just come up with the money on his own? Why does Paul need to ask for my money? Because God has given you your money, it's his money, to be able to use to further his cause and to be able to further his honor and glory in this world. And here are missionaries who are coming through who say, you know what, I need help, I need assistance getting from this point to this point. And Paul says, I hope that you will help me on that journey. So we help them with travel expenses, we help them with living expenses, we help them with other expenses. That's the obligation that a mission-hearted church takes on. We say we are geared, we think about, we are loving missionaries, we are mission-hearted. So when somebody comes our way, we don't just simply say, you know what, be warmed and be filled. We say, you know what, here's a token of our love and our appreciation, and here's to help you get to the next spot and get to the next way. Sometimes as we were laying out our deputation travels, 150 churches in 2.5-3 years, I would talk to a church, and they would say, you know what, there's no way that we can support you, but you can come anyway. And this is going to sound really carnal, but this is really basic. I took those meetings for one simple fact. I knew that we were going to need help, either financially or with lodging, to get from this point where we were the week before to the next point we were going to be. Maybe a church said, you know what, if you come this week, it's our missions conference, we'll take you on, but you're 2 weeks out from that. I need help getting from this point to this point to this point. And sometimes I would take a meeting knowing that they weren't going to support us, but knowing that they would maybe take a love offering or they would maybe give us some financial assistance to be able to get to the next point. Sometimes there's a thought in people's minds, I think, that sits there and thinks missionaries have some kind of slush fund that is unlimited and they're just waiting to draw on it when nobody else gives them anything. I don't know any missionary like that. I really don't. I mean, there are some who I'm sure are doing better financially than others, but there's not some magical missionary slush fund that when you surrender and say, I'm going to follow the Lord's leading to go to the mission field, God suddenly, here's $1 million. And if the churches don't kick in, now you can kick in from there. But there are some people who think that way in church, like, well, let somebody else take care of them. Let them draw out of their money that they have. I mentioned this before on the Sunday night a few weeks ago when we left Farmington, New Mexico, to leave for deputation. We had $800 a month in expenses between our health insurance, our life insurance, our car insurance, and our cell phone. That was all the expenses we had. But that was $800 a month to pay for that. When we left, we had one church that was supporting us. It was our home church there in Farmington. They were supporting us for $400 a month. We had two kids at that time trying to travel from church to church to church to get support. It doesn't take rocket science to do the math to say there's going to be some financial shortcomings to get from point A to point B. and a mission-hearted church. This is what Paul is telling the church at Rome. I hope that you will help me on my way. What did that include? Part of that included sacrificing financially for them. But it doesn't just include that. The word help there means to accompany for some distance in token of respect and honor. So letter B, mission-hearted churches help by sacrificing their time. Think about this. A missionary calls, or a missionary, you find out that he needs some assistance, he needs some help. Maybe it's driving to some place, or maybe it's some kind of logistical matter. There is no greater blessing that you will get and that missionary will get if you say, you know what, let me take you there, or let me go with you. I was talking with Rita. I don't think she would mind me sharing this. I was talking to Rita. I was asking her about how Nelson was doing and if he was able to help. Well, he doesn't have his driver's license yet. And here is Rita all by herself. She left here last Monday morning to drive to Pennsylvania, I believe, a 12-hour drive. She was talking to me Saturday night. She said, I'm a little worried. I've got to be able to drive by myself all the way to Pennsylvania, and I don't do well driving by myself. Well, sometimes it's not just about sacrificing financially to give them some money, but maybe what if a woman said, you know what? I'll drive with you, and I'll get a one-way ticket and fly back home. What kind of blessing would you get? What kind of blessing would you be to Rita if you took the time to invest that way? But what happens is people say, well, I'll pray for you. And sometimes our prayers need to translate into activity and action to say, you know what? I'll go with you. That's the word helped. When Paul says here, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and I hope to be helped on my journey, it bears the idea with it of travel expenses, living expenses, other expenses that he may have, but it also bears with it accompanying him on a trip. I think sometimes we forget or we don't realize what it was like to travel at this time. I don't know what it was like to travel at this time other than what I've read, but you think about the long aspect of their trips. Going on boats, going by horse, going by donkey, whatever they had to go by. And Paul says, you know what? Helping me is not just always financial. Helping me may be something as simple as spending time with me and saying, you know what? You need to run over to Detroit tomorrow. I'll go with you. And we build relationships and we make friends with our missionaries and we begin to have an established relationship that encourages them and encourages us. This is why Paul communicated in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. What was Paul's view of the gift that was sent from the church at Philippi? It was a sweet fragrance. It was a wonderful thing to me. It really encouraged me. So find a missionary and say, you know what? I'll go with you. You need to run over here and do this errand. You need to go here and do this. I'll go with you. I'll take you. It's not always just about handing out money and saying, well, there you go. You've got some money. I think what Paul is trying to communicate to them is, I want a relationship. What do missionaries want? They want a relationship with the people that are back home that support them, to encourage them. If you remember, those of you that were able to see the video that we made from Kenya, where Fred and Andrew and their wives, Rebecca and Agnes, are talking, the comment was made about, would you rather have the money sent to you or would you rather have people come and visit you? I think it was Rebecca, Fred's wife, said, money doesn't talk. It can't communicate to me. It can't tell me, you know what, good job, you're doing well, keep it up. Money can pay a bill. Money can take care of a financial need. But what does a missionary want? They want somebody to establish a relationship with them and say, you know what? I'll call you. I'll write you. I'll spend some time with you. You know what? Here's our house. You can use it whenever you're home. What a blessing it would be for us and for them to be a mission-hearted church that helps missionaries. Number two, a missions-hearted church encourages missionaries. As Paul goes on there, he says, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. That word enjoyed is the Greek word empiplemi, which means to enjoy something fully and completely with the implication of satisfying one's desires. So what is Paul communicating to this church? He says, I hope to enjoy your company for a while. What is this speaking? I mean, here is Paul. We would all agree, I believe, that Paul is a missionary. He's considered one of the first missionaries. And here is Paul communicating. What is he communicating? Hey, you know what? I could use some financial assistance to get from here to there. But I don't just want the finances. What else does Paul want? I want a relationship. I want to know that when I come back, people say, you know what, I've been praying for you, and I know your ministry, and I know what you're going through, and I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to spend time with you, I'm going to help satisfy some of these desires. So how do we do that? Practically speaking, we can encourage through quality time, and we can encourage through relationships that we establish. Building relationships with missionaries, communicating with them. The use of Skype today is amazing. I spent this last week. I talked to a friend of mine in Argentina, and I talked to a friend of mine who was home on furlough who ministers in Africa through Skype. Didn't have to go anywhere. Sat in my office and talked to them. And fellowship and relationships, and take the time to build relationships with somebody. Going back to that illustration of Sunday school, where that man turned around and asked me, I have never talked to anybody like you before. Now, as a missionary, I would tell you that's a little awkward, because you think, okay, am I weird? Is there, you know, like, am I a different species? What is wrong with me? I mean, you look at your life and think, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just kind of living my life. But I think there's a lot of churches who function like that. I've never talked to somebody like you. I've never gotten to know somebody like you. You know what? Some of the best friends that we have, Kimberly and I have today, are people that we met on deputation, who are willing to open their homes, who are willing to spend time with us, who are willing to build relationships with us all across this country. It's an amazing thing. And what does a missionary want? A missionary wants to have a relationship with people in the churches that they minister with. And so a mission-hearted churches, they can encourage. And that's what Paul is communicating here. I want to enjoy your company for a while. We could look at Paul and we say, man, the guy was busy. He was out of jail and he was going here and he was going there and he was doing all this. But what does he say? I want to stop and spend some time with you. Because Paul valued relationships and Paul valued those friendships that he could have. Number three, a missions-hearted church blesses missionaries. Verse 25 through 27, he says this, at present, however, before I get to Rome, he says, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem to bring aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. I believe you can make a whole message on verse 27. Because I think Paul's making a pretty interesting assertion in verse 27 about our financial obligation to missionaries. If you look at verse 27, for they, Macedonia and Achaia, they were pleased to do it. What were they doing? They had taken up a contribution for the poor among the saints of Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it. And what does Paul say? They owe it to them to do it. I think Paul is arguing for the fact that financial giving and blessing and contribution and help and support of missionaries is not an option. That's at least what Paul is addressing. They owe it to them. Why does Paul say they owe it to them? For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, the Jews' spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. It's interesting. That can be a whole separate message. Back to the one at hand. A missions-hearted church blesses missionaries. What does Paul say? Macedonia and Achaia. I'm on my way to Rome, but I'm going to stop in Jerusalem because Macedonia and Achaia, they've taken up a contribution to help the poor. They've taken up a contribution to help those people that I'm engaged with. These are people that Paul knew or Paul had connections with, and now Macedonia and Achaia are going to partner with him in order to further the cause of Christ there. So letter A, a mission-hearted church joyfully engage in missionaries' ministries. They joyfully engage in missionaries' ministries. Mission-hearted churches know the missionaries' ministries, and mission-hearted churches visit the missionaries' ministries. How can you know what the needs of the missionaries' ministries are if you don't know the missionaries? You can't. I mean, I could list some random person in America and say, oh, there's this person, but I will never know them. I will never know their needs. I will never know their situation. I will never know what they're going through unless I have a relationship with them. Why did Macedonia and Achaia give money to Paul's ministry and give money to Paul to take it to the Jews there in Jerusalem? Because they knew of the need, and they were aware of the need, and they had a relationship with Paul and were communicating about that. So mission-hearted churches know the missionaries' ministries, and they visit them to find out what's going on, what's happening, what's taking place. A church my parents used to attend, my sister used to attend as well, gave a lot of money to missionaries. They had several missionaries that they supported for very large amounts. And they wrote all of their missionaries, probably 20 or 25 of them. And they said, we are thinking about this idea of either sending you a bulk sum of money, I think about $5,000 to $10,000 each missionary. They said, we can either send you this money or we can take that money and send somebody to go visit you. Every one of those missionaries wrote back and said, you know what, use that money to send somebody to come visit us. Because they long for people to know what's going on in their ministry. They long for people to be aware of what's happening. They long for people to be aware of what their ministry is all about. So mission-hearted churches know their missionaries' ministries, and they visit them. Letter B, mission-hearted churches joyfully engage in missionaries' projects. Here's Paul with a project. Contributions for the poor, Macedonia and Achaia are going to partner with him. He's going to take it to them. So number one, mission-hearted churches share missionaries' burdens. And then they sacrifice as they can for missionaries' projects. Somebody writes to us and says, here's a project we have. All right, Lord, please be with Nathan Venton and his project that he has. Amen. Whew. I did my part. I don't know that we did. I mean, that's nice to pray for them. That's nice to say, Lord, be with them. That's nice to say, Lord, bless them. But what is Paul trying to communicate as a missionary to this church? You know what? A missionary wants you to know and understand what's going on in their ministry and engage with them in prayer, in visits, in finances, in relationships, so that their ministry may be furthered. You say, well, that's their ministry and this is ours. We don't see them contributing to our ministry. We don't see them coming back here and helping us. We don't see them doing this. I think that's a very selfish idea for people to take. Because we are partnering together with those people who are doing something we were commanded to do but are not capable of doing because we're limited. I can only be in one spot at one time, and so can you. But here are missionaries who are taking the message of God's word to people all around the world. Is that our obligation? Yes. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You do it. Me, I do it. Now I sit there and I say, well, Dave Dietz can only be right here. I can't be here and in Australia. I can't be here and in Cameroon. I can't be here and in some other country. But you know what? Here's a missionary who is. So I'm going to partner with him. I'm going to help him. I'm going to encourage him because he's doing something I was commanded to do. He's fulfilling a task that all of us were given to do. So we dare not think about it as, well, that's their ministry and this is ours. It's all of ours. This is Philippians 1:27 all over again. Striving side by side, linked arm in arm, moving forward for the cause of Christ. So if a missionary has a project, has a burden, has a need, has some situation that they're trying to raise funds for or some ministry that they're trying to do, you know what? That's our project too. Because that is furthering the cause of Christ in that country, which is what we were commanded to do. A missions-hearted church is going to bless their missionaries and be engaged with their missionaries. Then Paul kind of gives some inter-thoughts here, 28, 29. He says, when therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. He's kind of given their itinerary. He says, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I'm looking forward to coming to you. But now he comes to verse 30, and our last point is this. A missions-hearted church prays for missionaries. Verse 30. Here is, I believe, the crux of what Paul is going to address to them. It's very personal. It's very, very real for Paul. I appeal to you. That's a strong word. I appeal to you, brothers. I beg you. I urge you. I plead with you. By our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. To do what? What is Paul urging them to do? To strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. So verse 30, what is Paul asking them to do? He's pleading with them. It's almost this idea of begging them. I urge you, I plead with you, would you please do this? And what does he ask them to do? I ask you, I urge you to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. I was listening to the radio the other day, and I caught the last part of Warren Wiersbe's series, whatever he was doing. And he was talking, the part I caught as I came on, he was talking about mediatorial prayer versus intercessory prayer. And it was fascinating. He takes the listener, and you can go to, is it Walk Through the Bible, whatever his website is. You can go and you can watch all the archived, or listen to all the archived sermons there. But he was talking about the difference between mediatorial prayer and intercessory prayer. And he took the listeners, he took us back to Exodus chapter 34, and he talks about, or Exodus chapter 32 rather, and he talks about Moses the intercessor. And he talks about an intercessor as someone, a person who pleads with one party on behalf of another party. So he talked about there, the example there, the Israelites had made a golden calf and brought God, and this brought about God's anger, and Moses interceded on their behalf. Moses was interceding for them. He was pleading one person's case to another person's case. But then he talked about Moses, the mediator. He went to Exodus chapter 32, verses 30 through 35. And he talked about a mediator is a person who is an intercessor. So he's already pleading a case for somebody to somebody else. In this case, he's pleading on behalf of the Israelites to God. He's the intercessor. But now he's talking about mediatorial prayer. And a mediator is a person who is an intercessor who is willing to pay a price or to be a part of the answer. And it's fascinating. If you look at Exodus chapter 32, verses 30 through 35, how Moses is communicating, I am willing not only to pray for them, not only to plead their case on your behalf to God, but now I'm willing to be a part of the solution. Wiersbe went on to say this. He talked about Esther, speaking about, if I perish, I perish. I'm willing to give up my life for my people. I'm willing to give up my life for this. Paul in Romans chapter 9, where he says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. So now it moves from just simply, hey, you know what, God, be with those people. They have some problems. So you know what? I wish that I could help them in some capacity. I hope and I pray that I can be a part of the solution to that problem. And so when Paul is communicating here to the church at Rome, I appeal to you to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. I believe that Paul is communicating about this idea of the mediatorial prayer. I think he moves beyond just, you know what, say a prayer for me really quick. God be with all the missionaries around the world. Amen. To God, you know the heart and you know the project and you know the ministry of this missionary. And God, you know that they have this need and this burden for this ministry and it's going to cost this much money or they need this particular item. Father, if it be your will, help me to help them complete that task. Because our prayers go from this simple little thing of like, oh, there's a bunch of missionaries out there. So God, I think my parents would say, I used to pray this way when I was growing up, when I got asked to pray at dinner. And God be with all the missionaries all around the world. Well, you know what? At 5 and at 6, that's great. At 37, if I'm still saying, and God be with all the missionaries, amen, whew, I've done my missions thing. I believe what Paul is trying to communicate to the church at Rome, strive together with me, partner together with me, plead together with me for the cause of Christ here. It's a mediatorial prayer to say, you know what? If there's a need and I have a solution or I have the way to help with that, Father, help me to meet that need. There are missionaries and ministries all around the world who don't always want money. Sometimes that's a bad rap missionaries get. Oh, they just want money. Sometimes they need more than that. I was looking at a mission agency yesterday. They were talking about a project that they have going on. They needed something like an air compressor. They needed a bush hog. They needed someone to help with their IT, their computer networking things. That doesn't necessarily take money. That doesn't necessarily mean you're writing a check, but maybe you sit there and say, I've got an old air compressor that still works really well out in my yard or out in my barn. I can give it to them. Or maybe you sit there and say, well, I've got a bush hog that I've been meaning to get a new one. You know what? Instead of trying to sell it on eBay, I'll give it to them. Maybe we begin to look at our abilities and our talents and we say, you know what? How can I bless those people around me or those ministries with what abilities and what talents I have? But Paul addresses here in verse 31 three things that he wants them to pray for. First of all, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. Was Paul troubled and perplexed by the persecution he faced? You could probably argue whether he really was or not. I don't know. But he talks about it a lot. I was shipwrecked. I was beaten. I was thrown out of this city. I was thrown out of that city. And so what did Paul say? Hey, you know what? Pray that I be delivered from the unbelievers. I think Paul is addressing this idea of persecution that he's facing. There were people that did not appreciate Paul and his ministry. You look at right off the bat when he gets saved and he's having to sneak down the wall and he's having to get out of there, out of the city. Paul was constantly being run out of town, being stoned, being beaten, and he was like a glutton for punishment when it came to that. But what does he say in verse 31? Pray for me, plead earnestly on my behalf that I be delivered from these unbelievers in Judea. Paul wanted to be delivered from them. He talks about this in Acts 20, 22 through 34, 24. So he prayed to be delivered from unbelievers. And then he says, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So letter B, we pray that their work and their service would be acceptable, that it would be pleasing, that they would do what God wants them to do. So we pray for missionaries. First of all, we pray, God, deliver them, keep them safe, keep them from the people that want to harm them. And if they do come to harm them, protect them and give them the boldness and the courage and the confidence to go through that. I don't know if it was Rick or who it was this last week that talked about the churches that are being persecuted. Most of the time their prayer is not, hey, God, stop the persecution. The vast majority of the time their prayer is, you know what, give us boldness, give us strength, give us confidence, keep us strong. That's what we should pray for. And asking God to deliver them and giving them boldness and confidence, but then also that their service would be acceptable, pleasing to God. And then finally, verse 32, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and that I may be refreshed in your company. So Paul says, pray for me that I be delivered from those unbelievers. Pray for me that my service in Jerusalem, where I'm going right before you, will be acceptable to the saints. And then pray this, that by God's will I may come to you, and that by God's will with joy and be refreshed in your company. When the missionaries come here, we didn't ask them this question, we didn't ask them to say this publicly, but I know that one of the things that they were praying for and would seriously want is that when they came, that they would find refreshment from the people of Whitneyville Bible Church. That's what a missionary would like, that when they come, they're not asking you to take their job over for them. They're not asking you to say, you know what, why don't you go and I'll stay home. You guys have it cushy and we don't. They're not asking for that, the majority of them. What they're asking for is, you know what, just refresh us, encourage us, just help us to be strengthened in this process. It is difficult to be a missionary. And whether we live here and we have our homes and we have everything that we have here and we're faithfully ministering the gospel, that's difficult. But when you leave family and you leave friends and you leave all that you have behind and you go to a foreign field, that is even more difficult and more challenging. And when they come back, what does a missionary want? You know what? I'm praying for you, brother. Keep up the good work. Hey, I read about how you were ministering to this person, and you talked about this person in your prayer letter, and I'm praying for you, for that person. I'm praying that God would give you open doors of opportunity. Man, if you talk to a missionary, and you communicate to them what they said in a prayer letter a month before or 6 months before, it will knock their socks off, I guarantee you. Because now what you've shown is, I am actively involved in your ministry. I actually care about what you're doing. The reason why more churches are not mission-hearted churches is because we believe there is a disconnect. That somehow I do my job here and you do your job there and ne'er the twain shall meet. But the job that the missionary is doing in the foreign field is as much his job as it is your job. And our job as believers, if God has left us here at home, is to say, I'll pray for you. I'll encourage you. I'll give you the resources that you need as God gives them to me. And I'm going to help you as much as I can help you. Like a soldier who returns home from battle. How much joy and refreshment does he find when the streets are lined in a parade celebrating his return, celebrating his time on leave? Versus what I know some of you experienced when you came home from wars and were spat on. And no one cared that you had served our country. How much more, and I mean no offense to the military by this, but how much more respect, honor, love, and appreciation and relationships do missionaries deserve than soldiers deserve? And again, that is no disrespect for our military, but our service to the cause of Christ is greater than our service to the cause of this country. And it is our obligation as believers to say, you know what, when they come home, we want to refresh them. We want to encourage them. We want to help them. We want to be engaged in their ministry and in their lives. That's what makes us a mission-hearted church. Remember what we said at the beginning, whoever said it, about a mission-minded church? It has been said that there are only two kinds of churches in America today. Every church is either a mission-minded church or a mission-hearted church. A mission-minded church doesn't mind if missionaries come to visit them or preach for them. When they are there, they don't mind. They don't pay them a bit of mind, and when the missionary leaves, he never comes back to the mind of the congregation in prayer. Are we a mission-hearted church, or are we a mission-minded church? What does a missionary want? What do you want? All of us are missionaries. We should all desire to have people who are actively engaged in partnership with us, who don't just simply say, God be with all the missionaries, but you know what? God use me to help them do our work for you. Because the work a missionary does is your job as well. Because you and I were commanded to go to all the world and to preach the gospel. A mission-hearted church. It's difficult, but by God's grace and with God's help, we can become and we can be that type of church. Father, this morning I pray that you would encourage our hearts and our minds. Father, I do pray that you would be with those who we support, those that we don't support. Father, think of Nathan and Rick, Dan and Brian, four men that we've had here in the last 6 months or so. We don't financially support them. But if they were to communicate to us, as Paul communicated to the Church of Rome, they would want us to pray for them, to encourage them, to refresh them, to partner together in some capacity with them, for they are doing our job together with us around the world. Father, give us a heart for missions. Father, give us a heart to reach out, not only where we live, but to encourage and to help and support those who minister in places where we cannot go or we have not been called. We pray these things in your name. Amen.